It's time for a Wisconsin Life. 70 years ago, an innovative program to reforest the Great Lakes and teach natural resources management took root in Eagle River. Producer Emily Bright takes us inside Trees for Tomorrow.
4 men and women are urgently needed now to help fill increased orders for propellers that will fly the planes of invasion.
The year is 1944. While World War II rages abroad, manufacturers at home strain to keep up the supply of resources. 9 paper and utility companies in northern Wisconsin look at the felled forests around them and decide to form an organization to ensure that there will still be resources for the future. The new organization, called Trees for Tomorrow, has 2 goals: to reforest the Great Lakes region and to educate future foresters. The group buys a forestry school whose cabins and dining hall were built by the Civilian Conservation Corps. The entire surrounding area is bare and treeless.
All right, so go measure about 3 or 4 trees each, kind of get some practice.
Fast forward 70 years to today. Trees for Tomorrow campus appears tucked into the forest just outside of downtown Eagle River. In the center of campus, seasonal naturalist Jesse Lambert teaches a group of 7th through 12th graders how to measure trees with Biltmore sticks for sustainable logging.
Do I want to count the last, like, little tufts?
No.
On a conifer?
No.
Why?
Each year, more than 4,000 students and teachers come from Wisconsin and surrounding states for multi-day field trips. They learn about wetlands and forest management. They explore the area on snowshoes and skis and by canoe. Recently, summer groups have even started coming from China. High school science teacher Jim Lund took adult education classes at Trees for Tomorrow. Now he brings his own students 3.5 hours from the Waupun School District.
Never had a negative response from any of the students. They love it, and this type of environment is so much different than what we're used to down in Waupun.
As far as we know, we are the only natural resources specialty school in the state and in the country.
That's Cheryl Tadea. She first visited Trees for Tomorrow as a high school student from Milwaukee. It was a life-changing experience.
I remember snowshoeing in Sylvania Wilderness. I remember that I never had experienced snow as deep as it was. It was a big snow year.
After that, Tadea was inspired to study environmental education in college, and she went on to teach at Trees for Tomorrow. Now she's the operations manager. Tadea explains that even though trees are much more plentiful in the North Woods than they were in the 40s, getting out in the woods can still be radically educational. In one popular class, students at Trees for Tomorrow learn about bogs first in a classroom setting.
But then the exciting piece is actually saying, well, now we're going to go experience it. You're going to feel it. You're going to smell it. You're going to be able to hear the bog.
When asked about the biggest change she's seen in her 14 years at Trees for Tomorrow, Cheryl Tadea says,
the change in kids' comfort level and just being outside. We may have to talk a little bit about how to dress to be outside. We have kids showing up to go hiking in the woods with flip-flops on because maybe they don't do that on a regular basis. Those are the students that sometimes are impacted the most.
The landscape around Trees for Tomorrow may have changed since the 40s, but its original goals remain intact. In the land around them, and in the learners who come visit, Trees for Tomorrow continues to plant seeds for the future.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Catch more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television Monday nights at 8:30. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Libby Dorn joins us now. She's the executive director of Trees for Tomorrow. Libby, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon.
Well, following up on some of what we heard there, do you get the feeling that a lot of us are disconnected from our forest lands these days?
Oh, absolutely. And it seems that the population of disconnection is growing a little bit more. But thank heavens for places like Trees for Tomorrow and other environmental centers around Wisconsin and the Midwest and Minnesota as well for existing and bringing that back to us and showing us that it really is a need in each one of our individual lives.
Now, you're working with this organization 7 decades old now. Do you feel this connection to the founders of it and the tradition they started?
Oh, we certainly do, and you know, the connection still continues because on our board of directors we have 17 companies that are represented, and some of these companies have been around for decades and really believe in the message of sustainability and sustainability of our forests and every other natural resource that's associated with the forest, like our soils and our water and geology of the forest that makes it all sustainable. And those companies companies. I just really can't believe the passion and dedication that they have. They're still right there, and more are joining us every year. So it's just great to see the companies and the corporations in our area in Wisconsin and the surrounding states that are still so dedicated and passionate about teaching students and adults in the natural environment.
Now, there's a tension sometimes between, you know, we think of trees and nature and wilderness, or we think of trees as a resource for paper and lumber and all that sort of thing. How do you bring both of those together?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because our real message here at Trees for Tomorrow is about sustainability. And sustainability is more of a message of conservation versus preservation. There's definitely a need for preservation, and we need those some forests to be untouched. But what we really promote is the conservation of our natural resources. And we found through wise management of our natural resources, again, the forests and the water, if we have wise management of our forests, then our water tends to be cleaner. It has more biodiversity associated with it. The soil is the same way, and the surrounding landscape tends to be well-managed, and again, more biodiversity because we do have a well-managed area. And that's what we're trying to train students and adults in here at Trees for Tomorrow, and hopefully around the state, that sustainability is the key to conservation and maintaining the health of our wonderful natural resources we have in Wisconsin.
For students, kids or adults, what kind of things do they learn in a Trees for Tomorrow program?
Well, it depends on their curriculum, and this is really important, I think, to our accredited natural resources school, because what we do and what we're really leaning more towards now is focusing in on what teachers need us to teach and need us to teach that they cannot normally find within their regular school district. So we try to provide the experience that will be associated with the standards, with their curriculum that they're trying to teach within the school, whether it be forestry-related, wildlife-related, water-related, and involving the tools to get out into the natural resource to see some of these wonderful natural resources we have here in northern Wisconsin. So along with that, we may use canoes to get us out into the middle of a lake to do water quality testing. We may use cross-country skis, which brings in physical education standards, to be able to access a sustainable forest area in the wintertime, or snowshoes, or something like that. So it's typically a combination of using tools that they would not typically have access to in schools to get out and really study, really use inquiry-based science methods in studying the natural resources of our area.
Yeah, when I heard outdoor program in Eagle River, I assumed summer school. But as we heard in the piece, and as you just mentioned, people are out in the snow. Is being out in the snow of the North Woods a shock for some of the people going up there?
Oh, it is. And I think when we were hearing Cheryl talk about when she first came up here and the shock of deep snow, it truly is, because even though, let's say, in Green Bay we have a lot of snow, but you come up here and there seems to be about twice as much. But the beauty of it is the people that live up here and the people that work at Trees for Tomorrow, it's just this beautiful environment that is unlike anywhere else. And to put a pair of snowshoes on for the first time, or a pair of skis, and really get out into some of these areas, into these sustainable forests on a pair of snowshoes, and there's no sound except the flakes landing on some of the pine needles or some of our trees out here is unlike any other. And to tell you the truth, we're just as busy in the wintertime as we are other seasons of the year.
Now, 70 years, I mean, are you going out and hiking through forests that were planted by Trees for Tomorrow when they first started?
Yeah, we really are. And Trees for Tomorrow was the education base for people replanting this area of Wisconsin. So everywhere we look, there are trees planted by people that were trained professionally through Trees for Tomorrow back in the mid to late 40s and into the 50s, and those trees are still around. So one of the reasons we see such beauty here in northern Wisconsin is because, directly caused by the professional training that was given to people in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s. We're seeing those benefits today, and I think one of the reasons why northern Wisconsin is as beautiful as it is today.
When kids come out of a Trees for Tomorrow program, how do they talk differently about forests than when they came there?
You know, I've been running into people all over the state, and these are adults that came here 50, 40 years ago, and recent students that have come here as well. And the way they react is, I think there's one message. They've said, this is really how I became a good steward of the natural resources that we have in our state and in all areas of the nation. They seem to use that word stewardship, and I think that is so important because they're now applying that to all areas of their lives. And I think without schools like we have up here or without other environmental centers, and there are so many within the state of Wisconsin, I think without that being present here in this wonderful state, we would have a lack of understanding for our natural resources. But I think because of programs such as ours, stewardship is a great word. And, of course, sustainability is the word that we always use. So I think there's a lot of appreciation and much more understanding because of that.
As we wrap up, what does the future hold for Trees for Tomorrow?
Oh, gosh, I got to tell you, it's exciting. We're making some changes up here to our educational programs. We're looking at really inquiry-based learning that brings in engagement and exploration and evaluation assessment strategies so we can tell how well our programs are doing. It's just shaping up really well for us here at Trees for Tomorrow. So as we prepare for the future, we literally are looking at populations of people that and students that we will never know. We're preparing for the future, and I think with our current staffing and the way that we're headed, Trees for Tomorrow is going to be around for a long time.
Libby, thanks for joining us.
And thank you so much.
That was Libby Dorn, Executive Director of Trees for Tomorrow, marking their 70th anniversary this year.